Afternoon, everybody. So I'm going to share my sermon for today. And then I've asked Andrew to come up and share some of his testimony. I was listening to his testimony the other day, and it was quite powerful. And so I just asked him to come and share. It might be like in two parts today and next Sunday. But this might be something that we do going forward, maybe where I just ask some of you to come up and share your testimony of how you began your relationship with Jesus and how you started to follow him. It's always good to just be encouraged by each other as we share what our testimonies are. Okay, so you guys are used to me by now, I think. Before we get into the sermon for today, let us pray. Holy Spirit, we just know that you are in this atmosphere today. And we're coming here to listen to your words, not my words. And so I pray that you would help me to decrease and that you may increase. And as we hear your words, I pray that you would give us the ears to hear. Give us spiritual wisdom and revelation to understand your truth. And God, may we also not just listen to your words, but also may we think about how we could be doers of your word and apply what we learned today and put it into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we can bring up, is it the next slide? Okay, cool. Thank you. So today I'm going to be starting a three-part series on intimacy with Jesus. And today is part one. And why I'm going to be going here is just because of the journey that we have been on recently. And so just to review, I think you might have to click on the PowerPoint. Let's see. Okay, yeah. I think we're good. Okay, so I've been sharing about what it means biblically to follow Jesus. And this has been so important for us to understand. According to the Bible, what did it mean for people to follow Jesus? Well, it meant that they understood what Jesus did for them and that they were willing to pick up their cross and follow. Well, what does that mean? That means that they were willing to forsake their own life, everything that they know, and follow Jesus, ultimately allowing him to become their master and leader of their life. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And why we wanted to understand this is because we know that throughout the scripture, it says that many people are going to say that they are Christians. But sadly, there are going to be very few who actually love Jesus in a way where they are willing to submit to his authority and submit to his commands. And so we need to understand biblically what it means to follow Jesus. I think it's off the... Is it on there? Like, just clicked on the PowerPoint? Okay. I don't know if it's this one. Okay. I don't know if this one is working then. I might just need you to. Let's see. Yeah, that's cool. Or here, let me try this. No, we tested it earlier, but no, it's not working. Okay. So I might just need you to click as you go, cool? Okay, so Holy Spirit has been teaching us what it means to be born again and what our purpose is as Christians. And next, we've understood what it means to grow as a disciple of Jesus and become a disciple maker. So if you guys remember the last time that I spoke, I shared about some evidences, right, of every Christian. That there are some clear evidences of someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. And the first one we're going to look at today It's this intimacy with Jesus Christ. Then I also shared about a commitment to the church. That if someone says that they are a Christian, well, there is a genuine commitment to the church. Not to coming to a service, but to the people around you. How are you journeying with the people around you and supporting and caring for the people around you? Then we also understood that if we call ourselves Christians, then we also commit to the mission of Jesus Christ. We commit to going and telling other people about him. Okay, next slide. So we understood that our purpose as Christians is this. And we can click next and next. The ultimate purpose of every Christian is to know God and enjoy him forever. This involves glorifying God by loving him, loving others, and growing to be more like Jesus by becoming his disciple and a disciple maker. Okay, and so today we looked at a very important scripture. If we can go to next. I'll share it first in the NLT. It says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. In the Amplified version, it says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true, supreme, and sovereign God, and in the same manner know Jesus as the Christ whom you have sent. And in the NLV, it says, this is life that lasts forever. It is to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So in this passage of scripture, we have a definition of what is eternal life, right? We all understand what eternal life is. But normally when we think of eternal life, we think of something that is to happen in the future. That when we die, then we are present with God forever, and that is eternal life. Normally, that is how we think as Christians. That is what eternal life is. And we also think as Christians that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have received eternal life. And that is absolutely true. When we genuinely have put our faith in Jesus and believed in his life, death, and resurrection, and made a conscious decision to follow him, the Bible says that when we die, we will go to spend eternity with God and be with God for all of eternity. But according to John, the writer of this passage of scripture, eternal life is also something that we can experience in the present tense, here and now. And you may be thinking, well, what do you mean by that? If we look at what the definition of to know is, it is this, to have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them, be familiar or friendly with. So I know that if I were to ask most of you guys here today, well, do you know God? Yes. Do you know Jesus Christ? Yes. But there are some of us who know of God, and we know of Jesus Christ. But what the definition is saying, do you know him personally? Have you developed a relationship through meeting and spending time with him? Are you familiar with Jesus, and is Jesus familiar with you? And even why did we come here today? Well, hopefully it's because we love God and we wanted to spend time with God. If we take time to really check our heart and our motivation, if there's any other reason why we came today, If it was to eat Maureen's wonderful snacks that she prepares for after service all the time, that would be a wrong motivation. If we were here coming here today just to socialize with our friends, that is also a wrong motivation. If we came today for the fellowship food that's going to take place upstairs, that would also be a wrong motivation. God wants us here today simply because we love Him and we want to meet with Him and we want to spend time with Him. And this is an opportunity to do that through worship, through hearing His word, and through fellowship. And so it's a personal relationship. If we can go to the next slide. Definition of to know. In the Greek, it's a word called gnosko. Okay? We're understanding the Bible in its original language and original context. It's gnosko. And what does that mean? It means to experience, interact with, intimacy with, communion with, joy and delighting in. Is it a joy for us to spend time and to meet with Jesus? Is that something we delight in? Is that something we look forward to? Is that something that we love to experience? To know is to have an intimate interaction. Okay, think about any relationship that you have been in, even if it's just with a family member. The greatest times of being together is when you can share openly and honestly and you get to spend time with that person for the majority of your day. That's something that brings you great joy. There are also moments sometimes in our lives where with our mothers, with our fathers, maybe those relationships have not brought us a lot of joy. But the beauty of it is even in those situations, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and wants to interact with us and wants to meet with us and wants to have a personal relationship with us. And this is why a relationship with God is the best relationship that anyone can ever experience. Because even in brokenness of relationships, there is health in our relationship with God. But it's to have an intimate interaction. Let's look at some points on knowing God. Know and knowledge is used almost 950 times throughout Scripture in many ways and contexts. So that means it's pretty important, this understanding of knowing and knowledge. The New Testament emphasizes that knowing God is not simply an intellectual apprehension, but a response of faith and an acceptance of Christ. Okay, so that's important. We can't just say that we know of God, that it's intellectual. Hey, I've read my Bible, I know there is a God, I know that God exists, and I know that He's real. That's all intellectual. That's all intellectual understanding. But has there been a response of faith in our life and an acceptance of Christ where we say that we know God, but that something has also developed, a personal relationship with God? Knowing God goes beyond just believing. It is about experiencing Him and personally enjoying His presence. It is about intimacy. Okay, and this is ultimately what a healthy church will look like. If the people that are connected to a church are regularly meeting with God and spending time with God, not out of ritual, not out of obligation, but genuinely out of a desire of love and a joy to spend time with Him, then everything will flow out of intimacy with Christ. There will be a genuine love for your fellow brother and sister in Christ. There will be a genuine love for the mission of Jesus Christ if there is intimacy with Jesus Christ. if there is an authentic relationship. Because most people are willing to do anything for people that they love. That's true, right? That if you genuinely love your mom or your dad or your brother or sister, you would do anything to protect them. You would do anything for them to help them out. And it's the same in our relationship with God. That if there has been a genuine change and transformation, we love to do things for God because of that love relationship. Here's a question. Has he become real and personal to you? Do you know Jesus personally and intimately? Okay, and you may think, well, Pastor Christian, why are you asking this question? Of course. But remember, just knowing of Jesus is different from knowing him personally and intimately. And this is ultimately what it means to have eternal life, is to have that intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember a very specific time in my life when I would look forward to spending time with God. And this still exists now, but it's harder with a child, it's harder with marriage, it's harder with a job. And I'm speaking to a lot of young people where you go to school, you have some responsibilities, but for me growing up as a young person, when I genuinely encountered God and had a relationship with God, I would look forward to spending time with him. And there was a specific time on Saturday mornings where I would just set aside that time and I would spend hours in the morning all the way up until like early afternoon, late afternoon, just spending time with God, reading his word, allowing Holy Spirit to convict my heart, areas that I needed to change, wrestling with the word of God, really trying to understand, God, what do you require of me? What do you want from me in my life? How does my character need to change? And it was a very just beautiful time, and I had a beanbag chair, and that's where I would sit. And I'd be in my room, just locked in the room, spending time with God for most of the day. Now, I know that might seem impossible for some of you guys because, well, there's TV, there's YouTube, there's TikTok, there's video games, there's every other type of distraction, and everything else seems fun and more exciting than being in your room and spending time with God, reading his word, and interacting with him. And there is a lot of distraction. There are a lot of things that is fighting for our time with God. And if Satan can actually steal your time with God, then he has won a great victory in your life. Because again, our personal relationship with God needs to be a priority. And everything that is healthy spiritually will flow from this relationship. But if Satan can steal that time of reading the word, spending time with God, growing in that relationship with him, then there will be a stifling of all the other things. And so setting aside time, even carving out time, choosing to put your phone away, choosing to put the distractions away, and saying, okay, this is going to be a half an hour, an hour where it's just going to be me and God. And even if that is a struggle for you right now, where you don't desire that or you don't feel like you want that, it will require some self-discipline to carve out that time. And the hope, the prayer is that as you do that, gradually that discipline that desire is going to grow. I didn't start out by spending 3-4 hours alone with God on a Saturday morning. It started with like maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And then as you spend time with Him, you start to love that time more and more. It's a joy. It's something you delight in. This is what it means to know Christ intimately. What we spend our time doing the most will reveal what or who we truly love. What do you spend most of your time doing? I understand we all have responsibilities. I need to go to work. Some of us older people need to go to work. Some are retired. I look forward to that day. Others go to school. We have responsibilities. But outside of these responsibilities that help provide for our needs, how do we spend our time? What excites us? What are we spending our time doing? Are we committing to the things of God? Are we committing to our relationship with God? Or is it other things? How we spend our time is going to reveal what we truly love or who we truly love. Because even if we're in a relationship, you know that according to Jesus, our wives, our husbands, our girlfriends, our boyfriends are not supposed to be more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's called idolatry. And Jesus will judge that strongly on the day of judgment. He says we cannot have idols in our life. There cannot be anything else in our life that is more important than Him. This is how serious Jesus is about following Him. And so we really need to make a decision. How are we spending our time? In our culture and society, the world that exists around us, every other type of relationship and pleasure is promoted. The world tells us to have fun. The world tells us to enjoy pleasure. The world tells us to enjoy things that are outside of God. We truly live in a matrix where the messaging is intentionally motivated to distract us from what the most important thing is in our Christian journey, which is to know Jesus intimately. We will need to fight for growing in our relationship with Jesus. And this will become something that needs to be very important to us. Okay, last question to close. What is one thing you can cut out of your life so that your relationship with Jesus becomes the number one priority? Think about one thing. That if this week you were to cut out one thing in your life, so whatever that thing is that you cut out, you can use that time instead to spend time with Jesus. What would that one thing be? Just to start the ball rolling. And so that you can grow in your intimacy with Jesus. Think about that today, maybe throughout this week. If there is one thing that you can cut out of your life so that your relationship with Jesus becomes more of a priority, think about what that thing would be. Okay, I'm going to ask Andrew to come up and share part of his testimony. And then I will close us in prayer before we move on to our response song. So let's give him a big clap as he comes up.
I want to say one thing, okay? I want to say thank you to my son, Matthew and Megan, for being so patient with me as I've been becoming a coach.